eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great manners or things too wonderful for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forever.
You know, it's one of those things where it's good to be here today, and yet it's kind of a sad thing too, because I know there's going to be some of you that we're not going to see until next summer, kind of a thing. But we won't think that way. We'll just be glad that you're here today, and we can see your face, and that you are here with us today. There's two things going on today. Do you know what they are? The hymn sing is tonight from 5 until 6. Sing just kind of the old gospel songs that you've been familiar with over the years. That's at 5 o'clock tonight. Anything else going on? There you go. If you look on the back side of that flyer, you see that. Who are those two people there in the middle?
Yeah.
Look at those big smiles. And the reason they're smiling is because they can smell the pie that they just bought there at Ingham Lake Bible Camp. So that's going on tonight as well. You can make up your mind where you'd like to go, what you'd like to do tonight, or you just kind of hang out and watch football. I don't watch football on tonight. It's that time of the year. So that's one of the things that are happening here today. As we look into the week, we find that some of the standard things that we do, the prayer group meets on Tuesday from 9:30. That's open to anyone in the church library that would like to pray or be a part of that. You don't have to pray a lot if you don't want to, but you can get in on just listening. And then Thursday is our Lunch with the Bunch Bible study, studying the book of 1 Timothy. And Saturday is our men's breakfast at Perkins. And that's for all the guys that'd like to get together for a good breakfast and some fellowship together there as well.
Are you making phone calls yet?
I'm not making any phone calls. I've given up on who's going to have the most kind of thing. So if you'd like to be a part of that, come be a part of that. Do want to let you know that, we've been praying for Tammy Emmel. Here's just a little bit of the latest. This last week, Tammy did get her organs. She got a liver and she got a kidney. They are in her. And they are working. And she's in ICU in Sioux Falls. And just needs a lot of rest as through the surgery, she had like 140 units of blood. Gives you a little bit of an idea that it was a very long surgery. And it was one where they had to just stop because her body was getting too cold, and they had to stop and let the body warm up again. And then about a day later, they started cooling her back down to finish the surgery of connecting a lot of different things inside of her body. But it's just a real answer to prayer. I want to thank those of you that have prayed for her and for Mark, her husband. It's been a real roller coaster ride, and Mark still says it's still a very a cautious, optimistic time. Anything could happen along the way here too, but we're very thankful to the Lord for what has gone on with her life. We know that if somebody else had to die in order for her to get these organs. And so we pray for that family too, even though we don't know where they came from or who died and donated those organs. But we're thankful that Tammy has received them and that everything at this point in time seems to be going well. So we're thankful for that. This is just as good as Dave being able to hear. So we're thankful for that too. Keep them in your prayers these days. I have not heard anything about Dean Ramsey's brother yet. He's on hospice. He was in the hospital in Lincoln, Nebraska. And he's only got 15% of his heart that's working. And so they took him off everything, and he's just breathing on his own. We haven't heard anything, but Dean is expecting to get a phone call anytime. I'm just saying that his brother is gone as well. So just keep that in mind there. Donna Osher is, she's in the mode of going to doctor appointments now, and Bruce has been so good about taking her there. And I think she does have to go down to Iowa City here this coming week or next week to check her eye. But the eye that she damaged, she'll never have any sight in that eye. So just be mindful of that. And she's had eye trouble along the way here. But this is a real setback for her, but she's doing well as far as taking it as it is. So we're grateful for that as well. So there's other things in your bulletin. One thing that I was going to also mention is that Rally Day, and I don't think we've ever done this before, but it's September 7th on a Wednesday night at 5:30. It's kind of a way of reaching out to the kids in the community that want to come here for some Bible teaching or get together for some treats and some games type of thing after school on Wednesdays starting on the later in September here. But we're going to try to get some of the registrations. So it's from 7:30 to 7 o'clock here at the church. And it's just if anyone wants to help, either, you know, if you want a pan of ours or whatever, there's that little place that, as you come in the entryway here, it's like a table out there on top, a high top table. You can look at that if you'd like and sign up if you'd like to help in any way or volunteer to help that evening. That's really open to you. But we just thank Amy Johnson for taking this on. This year she's going to be our coordinator for our Joy Kids and Joy Us Kids, and we are so thankful that she is. And so keep her in your prayers. And for those that come to be a part of it, it's going to be a little different than what the kids have been used to in the past. There's going to be some structure and some boundaries with things as they come. So it's not going to be like a wild rodeo here, like it usually can be, but we just want to love the kids as they come, and we don't see them on Sunday mornings, but many of them call our church their church home, even though we don't see them. I don't know how that works, but that's the way it is. So thank you for those of you that are a part of that and want to be a part of that. I just wanted to also just thank CJ. He's on the drums today. Usually he's on the bass, but thank you for Wednesday night for the way that he sang and played. I just had no idea the guy could sing. I just saw him up here kind of going, all these years, but here Wednesday night he was singing, knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. That's kind of one of my favorite songs too. So.
That's our next song.
So anyway, let's just have a word of prayer together, and we will continue to worship the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that is here today, those that are on Zoom and taking us in that kind of a format. And thank you for bringing people back from being away for a while, whatever reasons those may be, but it gets to be a busy summer. Now that we come to the last Sunday of this summer, Lord, we just pray that today will be one of those days that we are able to spend time with Jesus Christ here and to allow him to speak to our hearts and to draw us closer to him and all that is said and done. So we thank you, Lord, for the many answers to prayer for Tammy. And we just continue to pray for her and uplift her before your throne of grace, as well as Mark, who's been by her side the whole time. And it's been a real roller coaster of a ride for everyone involved. But we are so grateful that the organs are working and that it's just going to take time. Time that will go by so slow in helping her to recover. And we just pray, Lord, that you give her the strength that she needs from day to day, be with the surgeons and the doctors and the nurses that are keeping a close eye on her as well. And so we thank you for your love for us today and for your patience with us. And we thank you for your forgiveness. The times that we have stumbled, the times we have gone away from you, Lord, may today we just say that we're sorry and that we need you in our lives in a very real way. And so we ask this, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. There's a song called Flawless, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Reminds me of, I heard this past week, of there's a difference between wounds and scars. Do you know what it is? What's the difference between a wound and a scar?
Healing.
A scar is healed. Still shows something happened, but a wound is one that is kind of always open, continues to bleed, is not quite healed. And oftentimes, you know, we can have wounds for a long time in our lives. Different things trigger things off that we kind of go like, well, that reminds me of that happening in my life, or whatever it is. It begins to start bleeding again. A scar is one where you go like, you're healed. It's like, yeah, I went through that, but we're on the other side of that now, and it's okay, even though I've got some marks that show that I went through some difficult times. So I just share that with you this morning. It's of any help to you today. Our responsive reading is this, Matthew 26. 28. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
It reaches to the highest mountain, it flows to the lowest valley.
The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
It soothes my bowel and calms my fears.
And it dries all my tears.
The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power.
invite you to stand as we hear God's word today. It comes to us from Luke. Luke was not one of the 12 disciples, but Luke is one of the Gospels. He's a historian, he's a doctor, and this is what he has found out in his investigation about Jesus. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and the experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked their places of honor at the table, he then told them a parable. We're not going to go to the parable. I'm just going to stop right there. Heavenly Father, as we follow Jesus into a den of Pharisees, help us to see his compassion, his humility, and his strength. It would be a place that many of us would avoid, and we wouldn't want to go there, but Jesus did. Because he was a friend to tax collectors. He was a friend to these guys, even though they really didn't do their job when it came to taking care of the people. And so, Lord, use your words here today in our hearts and our lives. We ask in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Just want you to look to see where Jesus is at in this text. It says he's at a house of a prominent Pharisee. Have you ever been around someone who would be considered like a prominent person? Could be a mayor, a community, it could be some politician that comes to your community. Somebody prominent, someone important. Someone who has some status. It doesn't tell us who this guy is. But more likely, he's a part of the Sanhedrin, which would be the ruling class of the Jewish rulers. And so we find that being at his house on the Sabbath meant that everything was prepared the day before, because he couldn't work on the Sabbath at this time in history. And so this guy made sure that they were following everything like a good Pharisee would do. And the Sabbath, you know what the word Sabbath means? One word.
Rest.
Yeah, rest. God knows we all need rest. You can't go day after day after day. It's not healthy. It's not good. Catch up to it. But Sabbath means rest. It's the third commandment that we teach in confirmation. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And now you know, after being in the hospital earlier this year, I go like, you know, I'm sure glad that the nurses are still there and the doctors come around. I'm glad they don't say, "Well, it's Sunday. See you on Monday." They're still there. I'm thankful for people who step in the gap, even in this community, that are there for us. If you go out after church to a restaurant, are you thankful there's someone there to serve you, or are you given a menu? Somebody's got to cook your food. It is their Sabbath today as well. But maybe they take it later on in the week, I don't know. But we find that as Jesus enters into this den of Pharisees, that's all that's there, Pharisees. A bunch of guys, rulers, important people in their community, wealthy. And as he comes and is invited, he is carefully being watched. So you gotta right away start thinking about what's going on here. Because Jesus even asks a question and no one says anything to this guy. It's like being a pastor having a funeral for somebody you don't know. Some family, you don't know anybody in the family, and after the funeral service, I tell you, it's really awkward. Because no one knows who I am, and I don't know who they are. And so you go like, do I just go in the car and leave? Or do I kind of hang around? I usually hang around. Just to make people feel uncomfortable. That's what I do. No, I just I had no idea. I was just uncomfortable. It's awkward to find that Jesus goes into a house where it's really awkward. And what's going on, and I'm sure he probably knew that before he went there, what it was going to be like. But as he sits down, there in front of him is a man with a disease called dropsy. I looked up the word dropsy trying to figure out, well, what is dropsy? You know, it's not somebody that can't hang up to something that drops things all the time. It's symptomatic of someone who's got like maybe heart issues. It is a fluid buildup in the tissue within a person's body. It's called dropsy. And I find that it's really weird that the Pharisees would invite someone who has got a disease, and then they place him right in front of where Jesus is sitting. You want to get, is this a setup? Are these Pharisees trying to catch Jesus and trap him in something? And here's where Jesus says, he's asked the question, is it okay to heal somebody on the Sabbath? According to the Pharisees, no. If people want to get healed, they should get healed on another day other than the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is the Lord's day, and do nothing. If they want to get healed, they got to come on, which would be their Sunday, our Sunday, to get healed. But Saturday, their Sabbath, you don't get anything. You're just rest. But when Jesus asks the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not, what he hears is crickets. Nobody says anything. And he's asking the question, is it okay if I do this? They say nothing. He heals the guy anyway. And after he heals him, he sends him away, which goes to show that this guy wasn't really a Pharisee, a part of the group at all. After he's healed, he goes, and then we don't find any emotions, any expressions of people, even the guy who's healed, of what goes on here. You don't see him thanking Jesus or jumping out of there, or people going, wow, Shazam, that is really something we just saw take place here. You know, it's just nothing. So Jesus gives a very practical picture on what has just taken place here. He says to all of them that are there, now, if you have a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath, will you not immediately pull him out or take care of it? And of course, the answer to that would be, yeah. You wouldn't let them in there the whole day and then come back the next day and get them out of there. You'd do everything you could to rescue them. And that's the point that Jesus is making to these Pharisees. Here's a guy who has dropsy, who's just been healed in front of you, and none of you seem to care. You don't have any expressions of compassion at all. having none of them even left this home to go out with this guy to just rejoice with him and thank him for what has just taken place, and God has been favorable to him and healed him from his illness. But we don't have nothing in the scriptures that mention that. Because healing on the Sabbath was a big deal to the Pharisees. You just didn't do that. When we look at Jesus' ministry, did he heal on the Sabbath quite often? It seemed like he always did. And whenever he did it, there was kind of either people would talk about it or there would be Pharisees around and they would just gasp to think that he would do this on the Sabbath. But we find a lot of different places where even in the synagogue, which is on a Saturday, Jesus casts out a demon from a man in the synagogue who came to church that Sabbath. And right there, fell on the floor and the demon came out of him, didn't hurt him. How in the world can you have someone who's demon-possessed in the congregation? And yet you can. We find another time where it was Simon Peter's mother-in-law who was at a high fever. And so after the Sabbath, Jesus went over to her place and touched her and healed her of her fever. And she got up and started doing things normally that she would do. But he did it on the Sabbath. We find that even something as simple as the disciples walking through a grain field and would pick the heads of the grain and kind of thrash it in their hands and eat the kernels of the grain, the Pharisees were watching and they said, "How come you guys were working on the Sabbath?" Jesus had a response to them for that too. We find in John chapter 5, verse 1 and following, of a man who had a shriveled hand or paralyzed hand. It was on the Sabbath where Jesus calls him forward in the synagogue and tells him to put out his hand, and he does, and it turns right back into a normal functioning hand. Jesus healed the man. We find in Luke 13, just a chapter before this one, beginning with verse 10, of a woman who was afflicted by a demon and could not straighten up for 18 years. She was bent over for 18 years, could not straighten up. And Jesus healed her on the Sabbath. We go to John chapter 9. There's a blind guy that's been blind since birth, and he's asked by the Pharisees, "Well, why is this guy born blind? Is there some sin that he's done or his parents have done? Is there a reason why he's blind?" And Jesus says, "No. None of the above. He's just born blind." Jesus spit on the dirt, made some mud out of the saliva, put it on the guy's eye, and told him to go wash it off in the pool of Siloam, which he did. And after he washed the mud out of his eye, on his eye, he could see. And everybody was wondering, who is this guy? The one that can see now. And some said, "Well, didn't he used to beg there outside the city gates or beg for money or things like that?" And they go like, some said yeah, and some said no. "He just looks like that guy." But they brought him before the Pharisees and got onto the parents and said, "Tell us, was he really blind? Is this really your son?" They said, "He's old enough. He can speak for himself." Because they were going to throw them out of the synagogue and excommunicate them. And so, the guy says, All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. So a man by the name of Jesus, they said, well, where's he at? Which is kind of a dumb question to ask somebody who was blind before. He has no idea where he's at. He just knows his name. But he can see. It's one of those interesting texts I got from Dave Conway here not too long ago, where that's kind of how he said, he goes, you know, there's that, it says, I once was blind, but now I can see, where now he says, I once could not hear, but now I do. And you could just see his grin on his face as he texted that. And he's here today. So Jesus healed a lot on the Sabbath, where the Pharisees would not ever do that. And we look at Luke chapter 7, verse 34, it just says this. One of the things, it calls Jesus a glutton and other names out of there, but it also includes him as he's a friend of tax collectors. And that's what Pharisees were really good at doing, collecting taxes for the Roman government, which everybody else hated. And didn't like him because of that. Jesus, a friend of tax collectors. Jesus is your friend today, regardless of your background, regardless of where you have come from. He wants to be your friend today. Isn't that amazing? Why would he want to be my friend? It's really easy to answer when you think of Jesus. It's because he loves you. He loves you. Even with all the scars and bruises and bumps you carry with you or you've had, he still loves you like he always has. No one can love you like Jesus. He'll take you just as you are. Even though he went into the Pharisees, you know, that's an audience, that's a place where many of us would not want to go. And maybe there's other places that you can think of, well, like, well, I would never go there even if I got invited. Jesus is not that way. Jesus would go, he would be himself, and whoever he would try to visit with, or those who would visit with him, they would be very impressed and uplifted. I'm saying, like, what a guy. What a man. I could tell that he really cared about me, he really loves me. Now, you may have a lot of acquaintances, a lot of friendships. But who loves you unconditionally? The agape love. That's only God's love. That he gives to us when it comes to loving others. Are there people you thought you could never associate with, or people you could never talk to, or people you would never be able to even love? God gives us love for those kinds of people, whoever they may be. And he loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, if you can love Pharisees as you have shown here today, it's because you are humble. You don't think you are better than anyone else. You treat everybody the same. And you know the kind of problems we have in everyday life with those kinds of things. And Lord, we fail you from time to time, and maybe every day we fail you. We do fail every day. and you continue to love us, waiting for us to just say the word, forgive me. I'm sorry. And you listen, you care, and you love us by forgiving us. And you help us on our way, wherever that may be. So thank you, Lord, for taking us where we're at in life, and we can be here today. None of us here really knows what went on this last week in our lives, but you do. And if everybody knew what kind of a week you had previous, or what you have done, or whatever, they would probably be shocked and shake their head with disapproval or being very critical, judgmental, and what have you. And yet, Lord, you know all those things about us, and you just say one thing. I still love you. I still love you. And I always will. So if we turn down that love, it's our mistake. It's our doing. As we reject your love, we also reject who you are. And so really we judge ourselves. And we will go to a place where you do not exist because we have rejected you. So thank you, Lord, that today we still know that you love us and care about us. You take us where we are. And it's only you that can change our hearts, change our lives. There is nothing that we can give up that you will not replace with something 10 times, if not more, better. It doesn't seem possible. It doesn't seem like that would even be true, but it is. So, Lord, thanks for speaking to hearts here this morning. May we come to you by faith. Even if it's just a measly little faith, size of a mustard seed, we come, that's all that's needed. You will give to us what we need as we trust in you. So Lord, help us as we move forward and teach us, as you taught your disciples, to pray this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, receive the benediction. As Bob will come and play the last song here this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.